Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Adapters in IBM WebSphere Integration Developer Version 7. Today's presenter is Jason Engram. Jason became part of Application and Integration Middleware Technical Support and Customer Service, specifically IBM WebSphere Integration Developer Team, in January 2010. In this role, he is responsible for identifying and then subsequently working to resolve WebSphere Integration Developer product defects. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Jason.
I would like to thank everyone for making the time to participate in this WebSphere Adapter Technical Exchange. And as Joseph already mentioned, I'm a member of the WebSphere Integration Developer team based out of Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. So my objective here is to offer some useful insight while interacting with WebSphere Adapters within WebSphere Integration Developer version 7. Also referred to as WID. Just some advance notice, other acronyms that you will hear referred to WPS, that's WebSphere Process Server, WESB, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, EIS, Enterprise Information System. So I will introduce some and present a review to others the core phases of WebSphere Adapters development within WID. This will include verifying the installation of configuration steps, ultimately the publishing to target runtime, and finally administering adapters from the administrative console. So let's begin now with the agenda. Slide 2, please. A brief introduction, followed by adapters defined, and getting started with the technology. Where to find the adapter source material in your local workstation, and how to import the adapter into your workspace if not already available to you. Accessing external services via adapters, and configuration of the module. I will instruct how to publish the module to WPS or WESB, these runtimes embedded in WID for testing purposes. Just also to mention here, this does differ slightly from those steps to be taken for deployment in production. Administering the adapter from the administrative console, so we'll discuss starting, stopping, making necessary changes. How to diagnose issues within the WID workbench, and followed by general troubleshooting notes. Security considerations and ensuring that sensitive user info is protected. Distinguishing between WebSphere adapters and the legacy WBI suite of adapters. How to take advantage of samples, tutorials, and other useful links. Additional WebSphere product resources, and we'll conclude with questions and answers. Next slide, 3. So I want the audience to be advised that this session was prepared to deliver a broad range of information about WebSphere adapters. So mostly all the content will be relevant to those adapters listed below. But for the purpose of this discussion, and mainly in that configuration segment, that will be flat file specific, the WebSphere adapter for flat files. This figure here helps one differentiate between those WebSphere adapters associated with vendors. And so you'll see in the white boxes PeopleSoft, JD Edwards, Oracle, eBusiness Suite, SAP, and Siebel. And those technology adapters encircled, FTP, JDBC, email, flat file, iSeries. Slide 4, please. So what exactly is an adapter? So outside this world of business integration, an adapter is traditionally viewed as a simple mechanism to connect and have unrelated parts working together in a reliable way. So similarly, WebSphere adapters are used to connect business applications with back-end enterprise information systems. So at one time, this was achieved through custom connection utilities developed specific to each EIS, but this task has now been eliminated through the use of an adapter. The figure to the right is a simple illustration. This specifically is an adapter for Domino's. So you have your Lotus Domino server to the right. Communication is established through the adapter to adapter module at runtime. This also can represent the discovery mechanism. And again, we have adapter for email, flat files, FTP, and I'll let you read the list to your left. Let's move to slide 5, please. So I actually acquired this graphic, interestingly enough, from a prior version's documentation, but I thought it important to include this because it illustrates very well the roadmap to interacting with adapters. And still, however, relevant to version 7. So you can clearly see from where you achieve the installation, configuration, and subsequently the administration. You'll notice the bulk of the interaction with the WebSphere adapter is accomplished from the WID workbench right there in the middle purple section. And here within this middle section, you see this is where the user would engage in such activities like creation of the adapter project, construction of the project, and then producing the deployable year. But before we get to this point, you have the task of installing the adapter, and this is all done at the local workstation level, and the installation manager makes the adapter, the resource adapter, available to the user. An import of the RAR file into your workspace can begin working and configuring the adapter. So staying here in the configuration section, you'll notice the configure EIS to work with the adapter that may or may not be necessary to prepare the backend system, but if you run into some errors, you might have to go about DB tuning, etc. Create an authentication alias if required. Creating your adapter project to organize those files needed at runtime. So continuing to follow the flow, we have add external software dependencies. So those dependency jars and other library material to be packaged with the adapter module. Configuring the adapter, which we will discuss at greater length later. Then finally, producing the EAR file. The EAR file, producing the EAR file for publishing to the server is a production activity. Also can be within staging and testing, but within WID, you have the option to produce a PI that could be shared within workspaces and users. In this final gray block are those administrative tasks to be performed using the administrative console, like installing the module, starting and stopping, amending configuration properties, etc. Next, we'll discuss the basic packaging of WebSphere adapters. Slide 6, please. They are bundled into resource adapter archives, RAR files. And so you'll see RAR mentioned quite a bit from here on out. RAR file is essentially a file no different from conventional zip. In this case, contains the adapter and additional files. These allow the user options while configuring the adapter. The RAR properties control the general operation of the adapter, such as specifying namespace for BOs, BO another acronym for business objects. A principal function of the resource adapter is to automatically discover what is available in the back-end system and expose it as services and or artifacts. The resource adapter defines a common interface that WID uses to communicate with the backend and locate services and BOs. So you set the properties using the external service wizard, which we will also discuss here later, when you configure the adapter. And after deploying, use the console to change these properties. At runtime, the component that WebSphere Integration Developer created, aided with the discovery, does all the tedious work of storing and retrieving business data to and from the EIS. Slide 7. So in my opinion, it's always the best practice to begin your development within a new workspace for obvious reasons like simple clarity and even to avoid inheriting pre-existing errors. But I, of course, do recognize that this is not an option for everyone. So a clean operation and additional effort to resolve those unrelated errors might be required before we advise proceeding to the next step. And I'm sure most of us are familiar with creating a new workspace. This is done when you invoke the product. But you can also switch workspace from file, switch workspace, and name to your specification. Next slide, 8, please. Before you can begin working with any of the adapters, it is a requirement that you first import the previously alluded to RAR. So you select File, Import. The menu will open as seen here in this image to the right. Expand Java EE and select RAR. Click Next and the connector import page is open. A browse allows you to navigate to your local directory for the appropriate RAR. And the location is typically WID install directory, resource adapters, and the adapter of your choice, in this case, flat files. The naming convention is very straightforward, so it's likely zero ambiguity around where to find your adapter. The remaining fields are populated for you, and then you would click Finish. It's not necessary to move to the Java EE perspective, so you can click No once prompted with that message box. Slide 9, please. So here we have in the figure to your left the flat files RAR within your local file system. And after importing, the image on the right shows that very same flat files adapter represented in your business integration perspective within WID. Slide 10, please. Accessing external services. So now the external service wizard. This utility is provided to find an application on an EIS and then code gen for the import-export. you can start this wizard by selecting it from your Business Integration Perspectives menu, File, New, External Service. And a really useful addition for creating a service is the Simple Adapter Wizard. It is, however, limited, somewhat of a disclaimer, limited to these three listed at your bottom right. So you have WebSphere Adapter for email, the adapter for FTP, and the WebSphere Adapter for flat files. These are the three that you can take advantage of the Simple Adapter Wizard. The Adapter Wizard can save some valuable time in creating a service. You're just presented with a very few fields, relatively few amount of pages, to generate a service. And in many cases, a service generated from the Adapter Wizard will meet the requirements for the service you want to create. Slide 11, please. So just a reminder, we'll now venture off into the flat files configuration, so it'll be flat file specific jargon here during the configuration steps. In this detached block, first we need to create the required local folders, events, and output. Those are local folders, respectively. The event directory is polled by the adapter at regular intervals and sends any newly found events in the form of business objects to the server. The output directory is used by the adapter to write output files. There are also a couple of other folders that are optional, archive and staging. Next, create a new module and define the BOs using the BO editor. Then we would need to create a project, and the project is used to organize those files associated with the adapter. And to reiterate, flat files is a candidate for creating a simple service with the adapter pattern wizard. So in this case, we take full advantage of this and create a simple inbound flat file service to read from a local file. Next slide, 12. So here we see how you would deploy the module to a runtime instantiated within the tooling. The figure here is publishing to a server scenario with WPS, the process server, being your target. From server's view, you right-click WPS for your context menu and then select here at the bottom, you'll notice grade, add remove projects. Choose your adapter project from those available, click add, you'll notice the arrows to the right, then you'll click finish. Most everyone in this audience is likely familiar, but for any newbies to the product, the server must be started. Slide 13. Deploying the module in production is slightly more complicated than the earlier instruction in the for testing purposes example. Depending on your business requirements, that can vary, of course, between organizations. You may need to install the RAR for those modules using standalone adapters. This figure here expresses how to achieve the RAR installation. So from resources, you will expand the resource adapters, select resource adapters, and from this page, click Install RAR. This is all performed, of course, after you've authenticated, logged into the administrator console. The console, FYI, can be accessed within the integration developer UI, so you don't have to go outside and into a browser, but you can achieve the same from within the tooling. The drawer files are typically installed in the following path. So your WID installation directory, WebSphere adapters, adapter name, deploy adapter. Slide 14, please. Producing the ear file, it's a simple task. What you want to do is export the contents of your module by right-clicking the module in your workspace and select Export. Expand Java, double E, select ear file, click Next. Browse for the folder where the ear file is to be saved and click Finish. As a caveat, I would mention that the overwrite checkbox will result in exactly that, so be careful that previous ear files are not at risk of being overwritten. The checkbox immediately above Overwrite Existing Files, Export Source Files. This option is provided in case you want to export the source material in addition to the ear file. Source material source files includes Java components, data maps, etc. Let's move to slide 15. Ear file installation. So here to your left is a representation of where you would need to be within the console to install the ear. You want to expand your applications, then select New Application. Browse to locate your ear file and click Next. The ear file name is the name of the module followed by APP, so app. To make the module available, and this is for those more complex topologies, but to make the module available to all members within a cluster, access the Map Modules to Servers window, select the module, and click Next. Select the name of the server cluster, click Apply, then Next. In the summary page, verify the settings, and click Finish. If utilizing an authentication alias, you would need to expand security, select business integration security, and that alias you want to configure. You must be a user of either type administrator or operator to make these changes. And if not already populated, you need to fill your username and accompanying password. Slide 16, please. So given the adapter module is considered an SCA module, you'll be able to review configuration properties here. The imports and exports are available to review, and you see those there, import customers out, export customers in. Along with other administrative tasks, review the business processes, human tasks, those tasks requiring some human interaction, that is. You know, can also route the adapter module to different deployment targets at the very bottom under related items. And business integration security. Next slide, 17. The green arrow at the very bottom next to our checked adapter module denotes the module started status. From here, from this panel, the user can execute start, stops, uninstallation of the app. By default, the application starts automatically when the server starts and likewise stops when the server is terminated. So likely everyone in the audience is very much familiar with this. You hear quite often installing applications, starting and stopping, troubleshoot, make changes to deployment, etc. Slide 18. Troubleshooting the integration developer workbench. So some troubleshooting hints. If you happen to encounter some errors then throughout this adapter development process, the first place to look would be the .log file found in the .metadata folder of the active workspace. And if that was unclear, this figure here expresses in the address line where the .log would be located for our active workspace named Adapter Demo. Any activity that results in an error related to object discovery, project build, migration, import-export would have a corresponding log entry written to this file. I mentioned these activities, but we're not limited to these actions listed here. There are other entries also for other activities, associated with other activities written into the .log file. Hopefully our graphic here isn't being covered by the file details, but bpmhistory.log is another log that captures activity in the UI, and support staff will often request this file along with the standard.log file. Slide 19, please. So for performance-related investigation into WID workbench hangs, performance degradation, general memory usage, etc., you can modify your Eclipse INI and add these arguments here. This will enable the verbose garbage collection and a heap system dump. Now, your Eclipse INI, it's very much a good idea to back up your INI in the event you need to roll back to the original. You throw these two arguments into the top. I usually place them in the top. I'm assuming you would have no trouble appending to the bottom the same X verbose GC log. And then GC log is a reference, well, it's an absolute path. My apologies, relative path, you can specify an absolute location for the GC log to be produced. And then the second string is how to produce your X dump, produce your dump for more meaningful information, what's captured in memory. And I would also mention that usually this comes at the direction of support staff member, and it might even come with the accompanying min and max allocation settings. So trying to tune your Java process for the workbench. Slide 20, please. In this figure, we see how to go about changing the trace specification to add logging against the deployed adapters. So again, we're here in our console, administrator console, and you would go to nearly the bottom topic, troubleshooting. Expand this, select logging and tracing on the server. Server 1 is the default server. Your default runtime, and the new trace string should now include com.ibm.j2ca.wildcard. So now we're logging against the WebSphere Adapters package. And a reminder that any dynamic changes to the configuration are executed via Runtime tab. And so, conversely, any changes that you would like retained need to be performed via your Configuration tab. Next slide, 21. Those previously discussed changes to your Strace specification are reflected here. The server runtime log can be viewed here in the UI where filtering can be used. There are some advantages to filtering, being that you can sort on these fields here, type, time, the thread identifier, and some content. So you can even look for that also important server name open for e-business. Alternatively, we can review the very same in your system out error and trace logs, your native logs at this location here at the bottom. So your WID installation route, profiles, profile name, logs, server name. Slide 22. So I've often had clients find it necessary to have to go off and sanitize their logs of confidential entries when we ask, or any of the support team asks, to share with the support staff. So I've added this section about protecting user data. Logs can contain data from your local file system, which might also contain sensitive or confidential information. Sometimes these files might be seen by individuals without authorization to view sensitive data. To protect this data, the adapter lets you specify whether you want to prevent confidential user data from displaying in the adapter log and trace files. You can select this option in the external service wizard, or also change the hide confidential trace property. With this property enabled, the adapter replaces the sensitive data with X's. So I've included here the fourth bullet. Type of information considered potentially sensitive data and is disguised. The contents of a BO. The content of object key of the event record. Username, password. And a business object data in its intermediate form, such as comma delimited version of a file. And I'll allow some time to consume the types of information not considered sensitive data and therefore not hidden. Slide 23. Not that anyone here is guilty of this, but I thought it imperative that we mention WebSphere adapters are not synonymous with WBI, that is WebSphere Business Integration Adapters. And although many use these product names interchangeably, they are not the same, so below are some ways to distinguish between features of each. WebSphere adapters rely on standard JCA contracts to manage lifecycle tasks such as stopping, starting. WebSphere business integration adapters rely on the adapter framework, so your WebSphere adapter framework, to manage that connectivity. With WebSphere adapters, an external service wizard in WID is used to discover an EIS and its available information. The external service wizard develops BOs from the discovered information. WBI adapters use a separate object discovery agent, ODA, to probe an EIS and generate business object definition schemas. An outbound service type in WebSphere adapters is referred to as request processing with WBI adapters. An inbound service type in WebSphere adapters is called event processing with WBI adapters. Slide 24, please. I've included here the panel from within the administrative console where you administer those, the ladders of the former WebSphere business integration adapters. Those legacy adapters are administered here where you add new, et cetera. And hopefully not redundant, but the IBM WebSphere business integration adapters do not comply to either the J2C architecture or the Enterprise Metadata Discovery specification. WebSphere business integration adapters always reside outside of an application server at runtime. So the server communicates with this type of adapter through JMS, that's Java Messaging Service. So they communicate through the transport layer. Next slide, please. So some of your samples and tutorials, really useful. I would advise everyone take advantage of these when first getting started with the product, or even if there's a particular area that you would like to bolster some of your knowledge. And you access these samples and tutorials from the Getting Started panel that is by default open in your BI perspective when WID opens. So you would find your samples and tutorials, go to samples and tutorials, click here. Slide 26, please. And at the very lower left, I'm actually pointing to the WebSphere adapters for flat files. This is very similar to what we had previously discussed, slightly different. But here are some other simple basic concepts to get started with. So you have to ensure that you are within the scope of WebSphere Integration 7.0. And you'll notice this from within WID panel. There's also a selection for those samples associated with IBM WebSphere Business Monitor Development Toolkit, so just remain mindful of this. And to get more samples, at your top right, just simply click Retrieve. Next slide. Upon retrieve, you'll have to wait for a few moments there, and you'll have these options to your left for additional sample material to retrieve. All the adapters that we have discussed, and then some topics outside of the adapters section. These samples and tutorials are also discussed at length in the PubLab, so the V7 Information Center. And I will point to that link here shortly. Slide 28, please. So here are some useful WebSphere adapter and WID V7 links. First, we have the IBM Education Assistant for WID V7 adapter specific. And these are guided tutorials with a demo slideshow not being all that lengthy. I've noticed they range from 3 to 5 minutes. The longest one I've seen is like 7 minutes. So they don't hijack you of your valuable time. and recently updated material being the ECM adapter. The next bullet here, supported software for IBM WebSphere adapters. So you'll have your hardware software requirements for the WebSphere JCA adapters. And here at this link, you'll notice that it spans from version 6 all the way to the most recent 7.5. Also, if interested in requiring to glean additional information about the legacy suite, so the business integration adapters, legacy suite, there's a compatibility matrix included. There's a link off this page to review that material. This next link is the fix list for WebSphere adapters V7. And the latest maintenance is at 004, so that's 700FP4. And here you'll notice a detailed description of the APAR fix for each particular defect. The fourth bullet, IBM support portal for WebSphere adapters family. This is the new support center for the adapter suite. Really useful. I find myself here quite often. You can download fixes, notes for troubleshooting, view the most recent or even archived documentation. You can open a new service ticket, new service request, view PMRs, and it is your experience is customizable through My Support. So you can sign up for notifications. On and on. The next bullet, WebSphere and WBI adapters must gather. And so the must gather information, or that must gather instruction, is found here. So you have a couple of options. You can go the route of IBM Support Assistant Lite. So we have collectors to automate this activity, or you can go the other route of manual collection of the log data. So we supply all the trace strings, so you can modify your trace specification. Again, run through your failing scenario and capture all the log data in the trace. Then with an open PMR, you can route that directly to the service engineer assigned to that PMR. And finally, the DeveloperWorks forums, really useful community of fellow developers that you can engage with. Even sometimes nice enough to answer simple questions. So that concludes my portion of the presentation, and now I will pass back the presentation to Joseph.
Thank you, Jason, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have no questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. And I do see a question here coming through into the web conference. The question is, can adapters that are built in WebSphere Integration Developer version 7 be deployed to WebSphere Process Server version 6.1.x?
Sure, great question. There is backwards compatibility. I would have to take this offline to look at the scenario in detail. If I remember correctly and can recall, the answer to this question will vary depending on which adapter.
Thank you, Jason. What is the best way to avoid connection drops in Oracle EBI adapter?
Again, this is a question that's very specific to the Oracle adapter. I would suggest that, it does vary depending on what driver. So I would like to take this again offline.
So it looks like we don't have any questions right now, and at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.